It's good to see everyone out this morning. Sister Jane, you know everyone here is going to be praying for your surgery on Monday. And we pray that things will be well with you and that you will be back to your normal activities very soon. Glenda, it's good to see you feeling well enough to be out. It's good to see everyone here this morning. As I mentioned last week, before we leave the book of Galatians, I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. So if you'd open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, and we will look at that this morning. Chapter 5, beginning at verse, starting at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. So we understand that as Christians that we are to bear fruit. Paul tells us this in different places. Also in Romans chapter 7 and verse 4, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. That is one of the purposes of being a Christian, to bear fruit to God. We see that the fruit of the Spirit suggests a collective nature of this produce. And it's interesting, when we look for fruit in the grocery store, where do we go? We go to the produce department. Produce is produced, it's grown, it's brought about. But we see this collective nature, these different elements, these different characteristics, nine of them, but each of them contribute and make up the fruit of the Christian life. When we look at an orange, we see seeds, we see slices, we see a peel, we see juice, and they all make up that fruit that we call an orange. When we look at love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, they all make up the fruit of the Spirit. This is what we are to produce in our lives. We are to be led by the Spirit. We are to walk in the Spirit. We are to live in the Spirit. And when we do this, we will produce this fruit. Just as the seed planted in the soil brings forth the harvest, God's seed, the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, when it is planted in good and honest hearts, bears fruit of obedient faith. There's going to be something that we can see from the seed that was planted. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Again, the Word of God is incorruptible. It's going to live forever. There's so much power in that word, in that seed. Luke records the words of our Lord in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, but the ones that fell on the ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And again, as we talked about this morning, as soon as we plant that seed, we need to be patient for it to bear fruit. So having the Word of God planted in his heart, the Christian's life is to reflect the nature of that seed. We obey God by bearing fruit of the Spirit. There are fruits of the Spirit, which is the natural product of the Word of God. When you contrast that with walking in the flesh, those things that are of the flesh are in contrast to those things of the Spirit. So there, the fruit of the Spirit, it's natural. It's not something that is forced on us to do. It's just natural. And it'll be worthwhile to note that we all bear some kind of fruit. All of us are bearing fruit in our lives. This is apparent when we look at this section, beginning at verse 16, that we are either walking and fulfilling the lust of the flesh, or we are walking in the Spirit. And it's up to us to decide which fruit that we are going to bear. But each one of us bears fruit each day. The Spirit of God dwells in one that meets certain qualifications. We've got to set our mind on the gospel, the things of the Spirit, Romans 8, 5. We've got to live in harmony with the gospel given to us by the Spirit of God, Romans 8, 1, 4 through 5. We've got to submit to the law of God, the gospel, Romans 8, 7. Galatians 5, 16, 18, and 25. And we have to have that in our life, or we won't be able to bear fruit. Again, we might look at a Christian and we don't see any evidence of fruit, and we've got to go back and look at these other things. What is our daily life, our daily walk? When we look at the works of the flesh, in 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The works of the flesh, they are evident. They are manifest. They are made known. Why or when do we produce those? When we don't crucify the flesh. We've got to crucify the flesh, or that flesh is going to keep producing these things of the works of the flesh. And that's in contradiction to the fruit of the Spirit. So we are in this battle every day. Sometimes it may be hard to think of being in a battle producing fruit. We just don't think about that. But that's the battle that we are in each day. The flesh is going to want to fulfill its desires. Our spirit is going to want to fulfill its desires. But again, we have to spend time in the Spirit, or it's not going to have the desire to fulfill those things. And that's why it's so important, again, that we start our day in God's Word. Because if we start our day in Satan's world, getting wrapped up in what's going on with the things of the world, that's where our mind is going to be led through the day. And when you look at both of these together, you're going to see a contrast more clearly. There's love, there's fornication. There's joy versus revelries. There's peace versus enmities. Long-suffering versus outburst of wrath. Kindness versus envy. Goodness versus uncleanness. Faithfulness versus idolatry. Meekness versus strife. Self-control versus lasciviousness. They're in contrast. Can a vine bear different kinds of fruit? It just can't do that. But we try to think that we can. We try to think that it's okay. You know, you look at this slide with this orange up there. I had several tangerines this morning when I got up. They were so nice and sweet and delicious and good. I enjoy eating those. You look at this next slide, but this is one of the reasons I use this slide for the fruit of the Spirit. But when you think about the works of the flesh, it's like this rotten apple. You may not be able to see back there, but there's like worms in there. Different things just eating it. It's rottenness. It's corrupt. It's corrupt. When we try to serve Christ and live in the world, we cannot serve two masters. We can't be that beautiful, shiny apple in this one also. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. But we think that we can do that. We think I can bear plenty of fruit for Christ. I can bear fruit in the Spirit and still associate with the world. Well, is our fruit going to make that other fruit, that fruit of the world, better? Is it going to do that? This is usually what happens. Being too close to the wrong people can ruin you. You see this pear that's rotten and moldy up against this good pear, and that good pear now becomes rotten and moldy. Paul tells us in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So every day we've got to renew our mind to be able to produce this good fruit. And we must bear fruit in our lives. There's no neutral. There's no third option. We are either bearing that rotten fruit or we're bearing good fruit. There's no third options. It's one or the other. There's nothing in between. And again, this is achieved when we plant the Word of God into our hearts. Luke 6:44 says, every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. What we sow in our heart is what we are going to reap. And nobody likes rotten fruit. It'll make us sick to our stomach. And to switch illustrations for a minute, in Revelations 3:5-16, talking about the church at Laodicea, and they were told that they should have either been hot or cold. Hot, there are good uses for hot water. There are good uses for cold water. But something in between, lukewarm, that made God sick to his stomach. And he said he wanted to spit them out. Friends, that's what rotten fruit is going to do to God. When we produce the fruits of the flesh, that's going to make God sick to our stomach. You think of the relationship of the branch and the vine. In John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, for I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they have gathered them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So here, Jesus gives this illustration, which is so easy for us to understand. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. You have a vineyard owner. You have these grape vines. And what does that vineyard owner expect from those grape vines? He expects those branches to bear fruit. When those branches bear fruit, is he satisfied? No. He will go and prune those branches so that it bears more fruit. And when you notice, when you read through this section, he talks about bearing fruit, bearing more fruit, and bearing much fruit. And when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, we don't want to be like you see, you go to a pharmacist or something, and there's so much medicine that he'll mix up, and he'll take an eyedropper and get a drop and add another drop and another drop. We don't want something small like that. We want our fruit to be abundant. We're full of love. We're full of joy, of peace. We talk about all the distractions in the world, friends. We should have that peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That people are going to look at us in the world and say, why are you so happy? How are you so kind and good and gentle? How do you have that self-control that you have? Friends, we aren't going to have any of that if we don't put that into our heart. When we put it in, we see and we produce fruit. That is evidence that the Spirit is in us. It's not, the evidence of the Spirit is not speaking in tongues and jumping up and down. This is the evidence. This is what we produce in our life. Now you think about in John chapter 15, again, we understand things in the physical world. And if I had a grape vine in my yard and I went out and I cut off a branch from that vine and I brought it into the kitchen and I left it in the kitchen and I thought, I'll just leave this branch in the kitchen and then I won't have to walk all the way out in the yard to get my grapes. You'd say, you're crazy. You're crazy because you know that branch is not going to produce any grapes when it is not connected to the vine. How crazy is it for us to think that we can produce the fruit of the Spirit when we are not connected to the vine, when we are not connected to the Spirit, when we have not sown those seeds, when we are not connected to the vine? I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Sometimes we might think we are doing good, living the Christian life, and then something comes along in our life, and we wonder, why is God doing this to us? Maybe God is pruning us so that we will bear more fruit. Maybe our assessment of what we were doing is right. We're doing pretty good. But God knows that we can do better. God does not accept the status quo. Somebody will say, well, look at me. This is all I can do. This is all I can do. Well, friend, what did God say to that that servant that he gave the talents that said, this is all that I can do? He went out and buried it in the ground. He said, you lazy, worthless slave, you should have at least given it to the bank so you could have gotten interest on it. God is not satisfied with the status quo. He created us to bear fruit. He created us to bear more fruit. He created us to bear much fruit. And you think about this. These things, these are things that we should want to have in our lives. These are things that are going to make our life rich and full. Again, we'll have that contentment, that peace that the world does not understand. We plant this seed, we nurture it, and it grows, and our life is going to be rich compared to the works of the flesh. And when we have the works of the flesh in our life, what's it going to do? It's going to be like that rotten apple with worms getting in it. It's going to be like that rotten pear. It's just going to be rotten. That's the only way to describe it. It's, our life is going to be rotten. We also know, back to looking at this list of things, just like with grapes, when you see that grape come on the vine, at first it's really small. You think about any fruit. You think about a grape. You think about a strawberry. Say you see that blossom and the fruit on the strawberry and it's real small. Then it gets a little bit bigger. Again, it takes time for that fruit to mature. And would you be satisfied if you told somebody to go to the store, go to a farm and bring back so many strawberries, and they brought back a basket and there were these little white nubby things in there that hadn't matured? No. We understand that fruit grows and matures. We need to understand that in our life. We start off with these. We have to plant these seeds in our life. Then we have to nurture them. We have to water them. We have to feed them. And how do we do that? By spending more time in God's Word. And then this fruit will come about to full fruit, to maturity. Philippians 3:13-14. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. The word of his grace, God's word, is going to make our fruit mature. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. He's not saying it's not important to understand what we need to do to be saved, but once we have learned what to do to be saved and have been obedient to that, we need to grow. 1 Peter 2:1-2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We've got to lay aside those things of the world, those things of the flesh. We cannot grow if the two are entangled together, if the two are intertwined. Hebrews 5, beginning at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone else to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Again, God is not satisfied with the status quo. He understands, and we understand when someone is baptized, that they are a babe. They are a babe in Christ. And just like a physical baby, we understand that they long for the milk. They long for the milk. And it takes a while before they can have the solid food. But we expect that baby to grow. God expects us to grow. And we need diligence and endurance to grow in faith and obedience. And friends, if we don't grow, if we don't produce fruit, if a man has an orchard, if he has a vineyard, he has an orchard, he has an apple tree, and that tree doesn't produce apples, if a man has an orchard, has a fig tree, and that fig tree doesn't produce figs, what's he going to do? He's going to cut it down. He's going to cut it down. Luke 13, 6 through 9, he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down." Talking about examining ourselves in class this morning, we need to examine ourselves. Are we producing fruit for the owner? Here in this parable, he's basically saying this fig tree is just taking up space. You need to cut it down, put something in its place that's going to produce. So, friends, we've got to, in order to have the fruit of the Spirit, we have to plant those seeds. We have to yield our lives to the control of the Spirit of God. We've got to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, live in the Spirit. And how do we do that? Again, it's the Spirit of God does not lead us by force. He does not come down and overwhelm us. He does not come down and overpower us. Some people believe that's the way that it happens. We are led by the Spirit when we follow what He records here. When people talk about having the baptism of the Holy Ghost, friends, the baptism of the Holy Ghost was only promised to the apostles. We saw that fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. We know that was fulfilled. Christ promised He would send the Spirit and it would come with power when they were baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. There are things that they could both see and hear. And that phrase, "see and hear," is repeated in Acts chapter 10 when Peter is with Cornelius. It's not something better felt than told. And as I heard one person say one time, Pentecost is a day, not a religion. But people have taken that term and turned it into a religion where they are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible doesn't teach that. We are led by the Spirit, by the word that He reveals. So friends, we need to be mindful that God expects us to bear this fruit. Again, there's no secret to how we do it. We've got to plant those seeds in our heart. We have to nurture those seeds. If we plant those seeds, then go out in the world and get around all that rotten fruit, it's just going to undo the nurturing that we do. Fruit, again, you think of this slide and the one of the rotten apple or the pear, it's going to either be attractive or repulsive. You go into the grocery store, you see good fruit, it's going to be appealing. Rotten fruit, it's going to be repulsive. That's the way it is with our lives, friend. That's the way it is. And one last thing on the fruit, and when we sow that seed, again, all of this goes back to the laws of nature. John 12, 23 through 25, "But Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life.'" Now, I cannot tell you what type of plant that is by the picture of this seed that is germinating, but I can explain something to you. We have a lot of oak trees in our yard, and those seeds from that oak tree are acorns. Those acorns will fall to the ground. You can pick up an acorn and recognize that acorn. And if I just leave them there, next spring, they are going to start and sprout. And you'll see those little leaves come up. But you still recognize that acorn. But pretty soon, all you're going to see is that oak tree, and that acorn is going to be gone. Friends, you can't get life from that seed until it dies. It's buried. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. We have to bury our old man. We have to bury our old man in baptism. We come in contact with the blood of Christ, that blood that cleanses us from our sins, that redeems us, that reconciles us to God. It gives us new life. And then we are born new creatures. And then when we come up, we are different. We are different than when we went down in there. We have planted the seed of the Spirit in our hearts, and then we produce it in our lives. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that understands that you're outside of Christ, we beg you, don't wait another time until you obey Christ. If you've done that and you haven't been bearing the fruit that you need to, if we can assist you in some way and help you with something, or you have sins that you need to confess to make your life right, if we can assist you in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.